Friday, 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live, as always, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, kicking this thing off the right way, bringing Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos on. Zach, my friend, what's the latest with the Broncos? It's hurry up and wait now. I mean, we were hot and heavy for a while, and now it's, well, you know, what are the Broncos going to do with some of these big contracts and, you know, the Deshaun Watson situation? Now, where do we stand, my friend?
Yeah, Brady, what's going on? And it really feels like the off season now. And I have to remind myself, the off season actually started, you know, 7 weeks ago. But now, like you said, things are kind of starting to calm down, feel like an off season. And of course, you know, some news last week about Von Miller. But now things are starting to calm down. George Payton's getting into the swing of things, and he's going to make some big decisions coming up in the next few weeks. But I would expect that to be closer to the middle of March than to anything big to happen right now.
Yeah, Zach, take us through the Von Miller thing, right? Because we hear that it's going kind of nuts last week. Calm down a bit, but where do we stand here on the realistic chances that Von Miller is a Bronco going into next season?
Yeah, so the news last week was pretty much a no-brainer type of news, saying that if the Broncos aren't able to come to a new contract with Von Miller, the team will not pick up his contract option. Well, yeah, and I've been saying that for a long time. Von Miller is not going to be back on the Broncos next year with his current $22 million cap hit, $18 million in cash, Brady. I don't believe, in talking to people, I don't believe that that is going to happen, that he will be back next year. So it is that simple. If Von Miller isn't willing to rework a new contract, and if that's a route that George Payton even wants to take in terms of reworking a new contract for Von, then he will not be back next year. So the Broncos have until the middle of March, March 16th, to pick up his contract option, which would guarantee $7 million of his contract and essentially mean that Von Miller will be back next year. But what the Broncos can do is, if they decline that option, then Von Miller will be an unrestricted free agent and be able to sign with any team. Or what they can do over these next 3 weeks is they can renegotiate a new contract for Von, whether that's just him taking a pay cut this year, which probably isn't that likely, or whether it's Von getting a new deal in terms of an extension, a 2 or 3 year extension on top of that, bring his cap hit down this year, and then also bring the average salary down from around $20 million to something less than that. So the question comes down to, will Von be open to a pay cut and a restructure, and will that be an extension? Will it just be a one-year deal that Von will be looking at? And I think that it's going to have to be a pretty significant pay cut for the Broncos to bring him back. I mean, we're talking about, he's due $18 million this year. I think we're talking about $10 or $11 million in order for him to be back. So I think it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks, and how we've seen Von react so far to the idea of a pay cut doesn't seem like he's going to be open to a sizable pay cut.
Zach, do you think it'd be an easier decision for Von as far as staying with the Broncos if he thought that they were closer, if they were a playoff team, if he got that sense? Because, you know, he's made some good money. He has gone to a Super Bowl. He has won a Super Bowl MVP, but maybe wants another one there to really solidify his legacy. Do you think that changes things if you looked at the Broncos with or without Deshaun Watson and said, oh, this is a playoff team, we might have one more crack at this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would help, and it would kind of remind me a lot of the DeMarcus Ware situation when he left the Cowboys in order to play for the Broncos. He saw Peyton Manning on that team, he saw Von Miller on that team, and he saw an opportunity to finally win. Now, different because Von Miller has already won with the Broncos, but that would be a big deal because DeMarcus Ware could have gotten more money than what the Broncos gave him in free agency when he became a Bronco, but he wanted to win. And so I think it would be the exact same thing with Von Miller. We saw really 2 years ago, since we didn't get to see Von last year after the injury, we saw that the losing was really wearing on him. So I think if they were to land a Dak Prescott, a Deshaun Watson, a quarterback that could give them a chance to play right now and compete right now, then he would be more open to that. But unfortunately, as it stands right now, Brady, it's hard to sell Von or any guy on the idea of winning right now for a discount.
Where do you put Vaughn in your Mount Rushmore, your greatness setup? I mean, I think most of us agree he's a Hall of Famer. Where is he? Because at one point I thought, man, if he can get the Broncos back into the playoffs, maybe he's in that top three up there with Elway. Not going to pass Elway, but in the TD Shannon Sharp range. Where do you put him?
Yeah, and I think where you start for this, at least an easy place for me to start, is you look at Super Bowl MVPs. And so you have TD, you have John Elway, and you have Von Miller. Now, it helps that all of those guys did a lot of other things besides just the Super Bowl MVP. So I think he's up there. And then you said for that fourth guy, you can look at Floyd Little, the franchise. You can look at Shannon Sharp. There's a lot of other places to go there. But I think that's easy. You got the Super Bowl MVP, and you've done a lot of other things, including the franchise leader in sacks. I think Vaughn's up there, even if his career with the Broncos is over right now and he doesn't play another snap with them. He has certainly left a huge imprint on the Broncos and is likely to be a Hall of Famer as well.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. All right, let's go over to the quarterback side of things. You mentioned, okay, Deshaun Watson, we've all said that name a bazillion times, but Dak Prescott. So you mentioned Dak Prescott. Now, everything I've been reading, and again, this has changed recently because it was leading up to, well, the Cowboys are going to figure something out, but not so fast, right?
Yeah, not so fast. I can't believe that they didn't learn from last year, Brady, and see how important Dak Prescott is to them. I thought Dak's injury was going to make it so Jerry Jones signed Dak Prescott to a long-term contract right away, but it doesn't seem like that. And I can't imagine that they'd just let him hit the free agent market. But what they could do again is they could tag him again or sign him to a long-term deal and a sign-and-trade sort of deal. It's crazy that teams aren't taking care of their franchise quarterbacks, Brady. I mean, I just can't imagine the Broncos getting a franchise quarterback and then not just agreeing to pay him whatever he wants. And that's what it is in today's NFL. And now we're seeing the quarterbacks really kind of do what NBA players have done. And now they're starting to get a voice and determine where they get to go. So it's you just have to make your franchise quarterback happy. It's just as simple as that, and the Cowboys aren't doing that. And so it would be interesting to see what a sign-and-trade would potentially look like for Dak Prescott. Now, there is some risk because he's coming off that big injury, but he's a guy who's going to make $35, $40 million a year, and he's very interesting because he's obviously going to get elite money wherever he goes. Is he an elite quarterback? I kind of put him on the borderline of that. Right now, I put him probably the top of tier two. So he's not elite, but he has the chance to become elite. So you are taking a little gamble there with Dak. But still young, still would have a lot of time. He would probably play another contract or two.
Where are we with Houston? Houston's staying fairly consistent that, Deshaun's going to stay there, but I mean, at some point, you have to look at, the Bengals were in this position, and they finally gave in with Carson Palmer. When do you, what do you see, how do you see this ending with Houston? And is there any way they sit at the table with Deshaun and say, let's make another go. We're sorry for being a terrible organization.
Seriously, I mean, I don't know how they're going to get to the table with him if he's not even going to answer their phone calls. So it just seems like Deshaun wants to be anywhere but Houston, and there's been no indication that he's going to back down in any sense from that, including potentially, missing the offseason program, which may not happen anyways. But it does seem like Deshaun is very serious about this, where if the Texans don't trade him going into the season, he may not play for them because he may not want to give in to them at all. And unfortunately for the Broncos, I think this is something that's going to take a long time to play out because I think the Texans are digging their heels in for the long term. But that is not smart for the Texans. If the Texans want to change their appearance to the world in any way, it would be smart for them to trade Deshaun sooner than later. But also for them, planning right now before the draft would be smart for them to trade Deshaun as well if they really don't think that they're going to be able to keep him, which it doesn't seem like they will. But if they wait until after the draft to trade Deshaun Watson, then they're trading for picks that are unknowns. Where right now they could probably get the second overall pick, the third overall pick, the ninth overall pick, and any team that gets Deshaun Watson is probably not going to have the second or the third or the ninth overall pick next year unless they're the Houston Texans, who would have had that if they didn't blow it by trading away that pick. So that trading him before the draft is so much more valuable to them. And because they don't seem to be a good organization, Brady, I have no confidence that they're going to trade him before.
How much of a risk with George Payton? I mean, again, Deshaun's a sure thing. I think we all agree on that. Whether we agree on the price or not is kind of not the point. But we all agree that Deshaun Watson's a very good quarterback. He's up there with the elite status. But if you risk it, if you trade all these draft picks that you and I have been talking about, you trade a player like Bradley Chubb or whatever, and it doesn't work out, what does that do for, I mean, how big of a risk is that for George Payton, knowing there's going to be new owners coming in eventually? They're going to look at that move first and foremost and basically say, did it work out? Did it not? Did we pay too much?
Yeah, it would be a huge blow to George Payton and the Broncos, not just for this year and next year, but for probably the rest of George Payton's contract, because we're talking about trading potentially three first-round picks. And you really want those first-round picks to start being a huge player for you, be that Pro Bowl level in year two or year three. Well, that pretty much takes you, talking about, you know, a first-round pick 2 years from now, talking about that type of player being a player for you 2 years from then, that takes you to near the end of George Payton's contract, the six-year contract. So that would really, really hurt you if, for some reason, Deshaun doesn't work out. But that's the good thing about the Deshaun Watson trade, is you know the type of player and person you're getting. Whereas if you draft a guy at 9, you have no idea. You're taking a big risk. But then again, you're not giving up nearly as much. You could turn back around next year and with your first-round pick take another quarterback. If you trade for Deshaun Watson, you're not going to be able to turn around and draft a quarterback next year if for some reason it doesn't pan out. Or you're not even going to be able to do it the year after either, because you're not going to have those first-round picks. So it certainly would be him going all in. And that's just why I'm a little hesitant. Outside of Deshaun Watson, I'm a little hesitant that George Payton's going to go all in on something this year, because by the time the draft comes around, he's only going to have been on the job for 4 months. He may want to wait until next year to make his big move at quarterback if it's not a pretty much sure thing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's so interesting because we've all said it about the draft. Hey, it's a crapshoot. But if you decrease your chances of getting great players, then yeah, it's really going to be tough. And I think that's been the scary thing for me is, no, I'm not convinced that just because they're at number 9 and Patrick Surtain comes in, whatever, I'm not convinced that just automatically makes him a big time franchise player. But if you lose three of those guys over time, which who knows what round or what position they'd be in, you decrease those chances. So, again, there is so much to weigh here, because this decision, whether it's Deshaun Watson or you stay the course, is going to perhaps define his career for the next 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It very well could. And if he gets Deshaun Watson, he's feeling pretty good about signing a second contract. Whereas there's no other guys where you would feel as good about that in the draft this year outside of a Trevor Lawrence thing. And another thing that you have to take into consideration with it is George Payton is a draft and develop guy. That's something that he stated right when they hired him. That's something that Joe Ellis and John Elway made very clear. It's part of the lifeblood of the Broncos now, as George Payton said, is drafting and developing. But it would be quite a move to come in saying drafting and developing is how you're going to run an organization, and then a couple months later, trade all of your valuable draft assets for the next 3 years in order to get a quarterback. Now, I am still doing that because the quarterback is just that important. But for people that are skeptical, there's reason to be skeptical that George Payton would be willing to do that.
Why do you think, Deshaun, you shared this last week, the odds of where Deshaun Watson's going to land? The Broncos are number one. That's up there. What do you think is going on there, Zach? What have you seen? Why would he choose the Broncos at this stage?
Yeah, holy smokes by that. That is just crazy that multiple sports books have the Broncos as the clear favorites, really, to land Deshaun Watson. And a reason for that would be just the weapons that he has. And it reminds me a lot of Peyton Manning picking the Broncos back in 2012. And the Broncos, were they a great team? No, they weren't. They were 8-8. They went to the playoffs. They had an incredible run with Tim Tebow, but they weren't a 13-3 team that Peyton Manning was coming to. But what they were was they were a team that had so many weapons on offense that were just waiting for a quarterback to come in and take off with them. You can look at the Denver Broncos right now and say the exact same thing about the offensive side of the ball. So many young, talented players that are just need that quarterback to come in, and then they could take off, and not just for the next 2 years You know, Deshaun Watson could have Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant. He could have all of these guys for 5 to 10 years playing at elite level with him. So that's what would be appealing to him. Now, Deshaun has connections to Miami. He has connections to Carolina in terms of just his personal life. So those teams make sense in that regard. Miami, of course, a little bit better than the Broncos last year if you just want to look at record. But I don't think any team offers a better set of weapons for Deshaun to come in and put up great numbers right away. And then, by the way, you have a defensive head coach who should probably have the defense being pretty good, but Deshaun may say, I want my offensive coach, or I want an offensive coach in here. So that would obviously hurt the Broncos.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting, man. I know you're all over this. You guys are constantly working on it, putting stories out there, putting podcasts. Zach, what are you working on recently that we could check out via Twitter or DNVR's website?
This week I'm looking at, I'm wrapping up my expectations series, looking at KJ Hamler's rookie season, and then also looking at players that the Broncos can't cut, because Broncos may need some salary cap space if they want to sign a Dak Prescott or something like that. But there's some players that the Broncos can cut to free up cap space, and there's also some players they can't cut. So taking a look at all of that, as George Payton's doing that as well.
Yeah, it's always excellent stuff from you, my friend. Appreciate your time. And, well, again, we'll see where we are next Monday.
Absolutely. I mean, Brady, it's the offseason, but we know with the Broncos, that doesn't really exist.
So many question marks around this team. And again, whether it starts with the quarterback or Justin Simmons or Von Miller, I mean, there's a lot of storylines to follow along. And man, we appreciate you rolling along with us. Love what you do with DNVR. You guys are killing it. And we'll catch you up with you next Monday.
I can't wait. Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
All right, man. You too. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent guy. Follow him at Twitter or on Twitter at ZAC. Stevens, DNVR. Zach Stevens, DNVR. Power to Play Sports poll question. It's not Broncos related. Based on what you've seen so far with the Nuggets, how far are they going in the playoffs? How deep into the playoffs are they going? I mean, I didn't even put this option up there, Colfax, but there's some hooligans that are like, are they even going to make the playoffs? All right, they're making the playoffs. There's no way that's going to happen. This team will get it figured out enough to get in the playoffs, but how far? Second round exit, first round exit. They'll make it to the Western Conference Finals, win it all, or advance to the finals. 37% of the hooligans say second round exit. All right. So you have them taking a step back. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, considering the competition in the West. But my expectations are pretty high, and we'll talk about that throughout the day. Today, a lot to get to. Kevin Lytle will join me in the second hour to talk about the Mountain West Conference, the tiebreakers. If Colorado State beats Air Force twice, what does that do? Boise State and San Diego State are a huge, huge matchup later this week. And we'll talk about that. We'll get to my good, the bad, and the ugly. UNC's back at it tonight. Thankfully, get the Bears rolling again. So much to get to, so little time. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Again, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. When we do come back, we're going to get into our poll question. But what's my ugliest story from the week? We'll talk about it next. A
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.